realized that we had not started recording yet.
Now, here comes the silver.
Platinum. We're going to do platinum now.
We're going to do platinum. We're going to do black gold.
We're going to do the color of, I told Fool's you this, gold. Right? I told you that Beverly Hills, the fire hydrants they have out there, they're not yellow. They're not gold. They're platinum. Mm. I was told that when I took the Dearly Departed tour. Jillian and I took the Dearly Departed. If you're a tourist, you're coming out to LA anytime, you want to take a tour, Dearly Departed tour.
Why?
It's really good.
Is it in a bus?
It's in a Sprinter van.
And the guy knows a lot. Is it the dude that did that documentary?
Yeah.
That's great.
The Manson documentary.
That's great.
I talked all about it, I believe, on this here program probably about a year ago when I took the tour.
Sounds familiar.
With Jill's. But it's pretty great. Yeah, he takes you to all these spots where people died. And one of the second spot was famous Hollywood people. And the second spot, he was like, yes, and this apartment here, a man from the 50s was found dead in his bathtub. And I'm like, oh, my God, Jillian, this is where Mandy, my ex-girlfriend, why did I just say her name?
Ooh.
My ex-girlfriend used to live in that apartment. And she called me the night that they showed up with a film crew at her front door saying, hey, can we come in and film where the dead guy was found?
Who?
An ex-girlfriend.
No.
I can't remember his name. He's some.
What if
a
great story?
Someone dies on the bus. Does the guy get out and put like an X on the ground?
No, they put a little placard in the bus.
Stop.
And then the bus like doesn't even have to drive around. It just stops. If you get in the bus and they're like, someone died on this bus. Thanks.
You know, it'd be a cool app to make for us to make the after disaster death app. We basically steal that guy's business, but it's a GPS. Uh-huh. This sounds way more complicated now that I thought about it.
Right. It sounded complicated the second you said we should have an app.
I know. Haven't we had a couple
apps?
Yeah,
but this is a great app idea.
Yeah, unauthorized.
It's a GPS. It's a GPS centric.
Chips.
Like you turn the app on and it knows where you're at and it tells you where things are as you get to them. That's a goddamn good idea.
Doesn't that exist already? Isn't that called like Waze and Google Maps?
Yeah.
Yeah, Waze goes
We should be a voice on Waze.
I don't think that would be a thing.
GPS.
No, they do that. Like
I know, for like big things.
Yeah.
Like important
exactly.
things.
Big things.
You know what I hate about Waze?
Congratulations, we sold 7 of them.
You know what I hate about Waze? It's like, it just Tyler, stop flicking your toes into the microphone.
It's an experience I've never been able to do on the show before.
Like, I got voices that I love on the old Waze there, right? And then all of a sudden, they just disappear without notice or reasoning.
It's
Why would they just go away?
I didn't know they had voices on Waze.
Terry Crews was a voice for a while. Loved it. Will Forte was a voice. Loved it.
Problem is they don't record a lot of options. So they're just like, mega left. And then it's the same thing over and over again.
It's all right. Boy band soothing. I like Elvis.
I like the idea, though, of a GPS voice telling you where people died, too. In 2,000 yards, make a right. By the way.
Oh, Jesus.
Died
right.
Right.
Put on speaker. Put on speaker.
Right. Take it on speaker.
I got 6 dudes on my roof and DirecTV in my house right now. And wow. I'm at Mike Carano's house. We should be doing this in my house.
Here rich guy problems.
Tyler.
6 dudes
all right, here we go.
On the roof.
Hello.
Hello, Anderson?
Yeah.
Jim Robertson, the roofer at your house?
Yeah.
The DirecTV guy's here and needs some kind of permission to install another receiver.
Yeah, he already called me. I talked to him like 5 minutes ago and told him where everything was.
He said he wants somebody here, so you want me to sign for you?
Yeah, could you sign for me?
Ask him why he's playing. Why he's playing your stereo?
They weren't supposed to be there till 1. Jim, sorry about that. Jim.
No problem.
Okay, I'll talk to you.
Thanks.
Bye. Oh, Christ, that's how much I care about this goddamn show. From all the way across
town. Why didn't we just do this at your place?
Because run it at your place.
We didn't want to hear. That's all I'm hearing. It's the exact same rhythm because they're putting on an entirely new roof to my house.
It would have sounded good.
And
oh,
they do
I
the
thought
same thing.
They're doing a roof on your house?
Yeah, I had a little leak. I was starting to tell you. Remember downstairs
earlier? I thought DirecTV had to send 6 dudes.
No. 2 separate outfits at my house right now dealing.
This guy's got to watch television. This is really
remember
important.
Remember when we were downstairs?
This guy's watching fucking everything.
Remember when we were downstairs and I was on my skateboard and I was telling you like about how I found a leak in my house a couple weeks ago and then you cut me off and you're like, I was asleep in bed and I looked at my room and my ceiling.
I saw the moon.
And I saw the moon and there was light. Remember that?
And then you just threw something away and we never talked
about
it again.
So I just stopped talking about it. But popcorn ceiling in the house that I rent, the house where we shot Cult of Corona, I noticed like a fist-sized little like dip in the popcorn coming down. I'm like, that looks like a beehive or something worse. And I touched it after 2 days. It took me 2 days to get off my ass and go touch it. Soggy. It was right after like the rains. And I'm like, yeah, this is a problem. So I call my landlord, and they send somebody out. And diagnosis, your house needs an entirely new roof. I'm like, why can't we just, that Jim guy called me up, right? Because there's always confusion as to who owns the house and who to talk to. So Jim called me up. I'm like, why don't we just patch where the leak is and go from there? Yeah, the roof's so screwed that no matter what you do, I can patch that, it'll start leaking somewhere else. You need a whole new roof, 10 grand.
I like his voice.
Well, you just heard it.
I trust that guy.
I'm dead on.
He sounded like he wanted to kill himself when he called you.
I'd like to see a voice off between him and the DirecTV guy. I'm going to get up
there
and fix
the DirecTV.
But you don't
have a roof. You're a renter.
No, I don't. But you know, I'm sure this puts a little seed in the mind of my landlord. It's like, oh, you know, we can get this back. We just bumped up the rent.
Uh-huh. Mm. I think that, too. Yeah. I think that way.
But then
well.
You think how annoying it is to find a new tenant and get rid of
and
a tenant.
And that place was empty for 6 months before we moved. Plus, here's my little ace in the hole. I'm such a paranoid, weird fuck.
Me too. I'm with you.
All right.
Every minute I think I'm being kicked out of this place.
Here's my ace in the hole. The lady that owns a place, her mom lived in the place before we did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that she died
there.
In the place.
In
right?
that crawl, that hole.
Not the hole. No.
From your bedroom.
In
she
the
probably
back,
got stuck there and got eaten by a raccoon.
The back room. Perhaps in the room that we live in now. I think it was in the spare bedroom. But
You got to bring Dr. Drew's wife in there to get a psychic to tell you exactly where she died.
I should do that. She wants me to be on the show. I should say, only if we go to my house. Yeah.
And then tell me where the person
ghost
died.
Ghost remotes.
And how
they
died.
Good name of the first show.
I'm not a ghost guy, but.
Wait a minute. Disappointed!
No! You know what's funny? We open up with a joke.
Okay, we're back in business.
How does it not let you know? How does it not say, hey, let's just give us a little beep?
It probably did.
How did we not hear it?
I don't think it gives you an audio. You know, you don't want to disrupt.
We could have looked right here. See, right now we have 7 hours of recording left.
Okay,
well,
good.
That's plenty.
That's cool.
So earlier it said six minutes.
You guys
want to
get dinner after this?
So we just did like 30, 40 minutes and only 6 minutes.
Just realized the card was full. We could play the other stuff that was on the card.
What's that mean? What is that? I'm sorry. I know you don't like me to adjust, but it was quiet. How do we recap what just got missed?
Anderson took a speakerphone call from his DirecTV guy.
Numerous. Two. And then it was so good, too.
I know.
Was
that was
so
entertaining.
Good.
I'm bummed.
Anderson got a call from his DirecTV guy who's installing stuff at the house right now. And it was like, I'm going to three-way you to DirecTV because they want to charge you more.
Meanwhile,
Anderson screamed.
There's five or six roofers on my roof right now.
Yeah, they know
as well,
that because you're talking about the dead ghost woman right when the recording cut off.
But that guy called me, too. He's like, DirecTV is here, and they need somebody to sign. Should I just sign? I'm like, yeah, dude, go ahead and sign. And then my DirecTV guy calls me, and he's like, hey, they have the order screwed up. They want to charge you an extra $100 for the little piece of shit unit that they're going to put in the back, which is going to replace the other one, and they think you're going to keep TiVo. And all this, they had everything backwards and fucked up. So he's like, let me connect you right now with DirecTV. So then this woman named Caitlin comes on the line, mm-hmm. and I'm talking to her. And I wasn't rude, really, right? I was just kind of annoyed.
You were ornery.
A little rude.
All right.
No, you weren't rude. It was fine.
So then she goes, all right, well, let me look into this. I'll get right back to you. And then they put hold music on, and we heard the hold music. And then I'm talking a bunch of shit about DirecTV.
And I was like, I think Alfonso's still on the three-way there. And she's like, no. And then you just hear, I'm here.
I love that the voices have changed dramatically. The roofer before was like, hey, I'm on the roof here making fixing things.
So I was talking to Alfonso, letting him know that I used to love DirecTV, but they're like daring me to hate them with all this bullshit that they're putting me through, which is absolute horseshit. Yep.
And he's like, "You're disrupting my jacking off on your pillow."
Mm-hmm. I hope that's not the case. So he was like, "I
Anderson,
hear you."
It's the roofer again. Alfonso's asking where the Vaseline is.
Vaseline, does that work? Has anyone ever used Vaseline?
No, Vaseline is so thick.
Does
anyone?
Yeah.
No one really uses Vaseline.
Say lotion, but Vaseline was the first thing that came to mind.
I guess it was. You know what? There were some really boring moments in there, too. And I was giving out
codes. Stop trying
to
spin
things.
It positive.
Oh, yeah. And then he was like, I need your Wi-Fi password. And then Anderson was rattling off his 700 number Wi-Fi password.
You dodged a bullet there.
Yeah, see?
That part was fucking hilarious because it was terrible.
I almost lost my shit where I couldn't even get the numbers like out of my mouth because I was you were giggling like a schoolgirl. And I almost did that thing where I couldn't.
And you were telling him the numbers into your microphone.
I was so
and
dumb.
Not the phone.
I kept like yelling into the mic instead of the phone.
The listeners got the password.
All right, guys. Not anymore. They didn't because it was going into the ether.
It's gone. It's gone.
This is where you wish that, like, you know, Mike was some kind of, like, double agent and maybe the house was bugged. You know what I mean?
That's not. Do you have any?
Because if the house is bugged, like, if this is Watergate, we'd
to break it to you. I'm not a double agent. And the house isn't bugged.
We'd be golden. We would just, like, tap it.
I'm going
to
blow my cover by pulling pulling the recorder out and going, "Just good news, guys. Good news. In fact, if you want to sell this as a video podcast, I've been recording this too with the secret hidden cameras."
Oh, I got a great movie recommendation. A little sneak peek, because I don't do a film vault again for another week. And I'm obsessed with this movie. And every now and again, something like this happens, which is bizarre. But there's a movie. It's streaming on Fuckflix right now. And it's called Bean Flynn. And I wish that I had the listener. I will on the film vault. But the listener who alerted me to it, I would like to credit them. But this is a movie called Bean Flynn. Stars one Robert De Niro and one Paul Dano. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great little movie. And it came out 2-3 years ago. Never heard of it. Paul White's directed it. He's the guy whose brother and him directed About a Boy. Paul Weitz has the movie out right now called Grandma with Lily Tomlin.
Mm-hmm.
But Bean Flynn, based on an actual account of this.
Wait, there's someone big. There's someone.
Robert De Niro and Paul Dano are fucking phenomenal. It's a really great little movie.
Who's the classic Western actor that everybody loves? He's in Grandma
Sam Elliott.
Too. Yeah, Sam Elliott's in it as well.
He's in it as well, yes. I saw it in theaters.
You know what that reminds me of?
It's not nearly as good as Bean Flynn. Bean Flynn, fantastic movie.
Yeah. The your event next Friday.
Mm-hmm. Did I plug that?
No, you have to plug that again, and you have to talk about Cold Cockle Night again.
So much to do.
I know.
Tyler, settle down. Settle down. Get the wind back in the sails. How about that?
The sails. The sails.
Quick little plug. Did empty. I even say, hey, welcome to After Disaster?
I don't know.
I don't think I did. Hey, welcome to After Disaster. Happy Friday, everybody. I'm Anderson. There is Ty to my left, flicking his toes into the microphone. And there's Mike Carano, who was sitting in the.
Did I show
style.
You my toe on this recording?
Mike is
disgusting.
Mike is now laying down like a dead man on the on his.
He looks really
floor.
Relaxed.
This is like a dead man.
We're in Carano's apartment.
I kind of want to try it on the ground.
When I pulled up to Carano's apartment on my skateboard, there was a photo shoot happening out front of his house.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Like in the alleyway, and legs were being spread. And legs were being closed when they saw me.
Yep.
Wait, the guy?
Yeah, the guy. Saw it. I saw it. I
they
can
do
vouch.
They do it in the alley?
I
you
can
went
vouch.
Right in that driveway.
Mm-hmm.
What? Did porn the shoots. Other neighbors
porn
see?
Shoots.
I don't know.
Is and it just photos?
And she was like a 6.5, maybe a 7.
Yeah, sometimes I come home and there's like girls out there and they're obviously naked.
Why are you whispering?
Because he's right there.
One of my favorite parts of the show that was lost is when I was on the phone with Caitlin.
Yeah.
And Mike was whispering things. So, like, the listener could hear Caitlin and me and Mike chiming in with, like, horrible things. Just saying, fuck you, bitch.
The funniest part was when she's like, "Hi, Mr. Cowan. I'm what's her name?
Caitlin.
I'm Caitlin from DirecTV. I just want to let you know that this call's being recorded." And Mike's like, "Sure is."
Yeah, I'm like, "Yeah, we got you covered at this end, too."
She didn't know what to do about that. She's like,
she was off put. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I was really upfront with Alfonso.
This is being recorded and broadcast.
Alfonso, I'm doing a show over here, so just ignore everything you hear. Just tune out.
I love that people just let that go.
I know.
I'm doing a show here. Okay. So back to DirecTV.
So I got to plug real quick. Friday,
wait,
October 9th.
What about the sex lady?
7 p.m. There's no more to that.
He was telling a thing about it.
No, we'll get back to it because we'll probably hear them coming and going because you hear heels clicking.
Oh, we'll hear them
stairs.
Coming.
Yeah.
Tyler. What? So October 9th, 7 p.m.
Like ejaculation.
I get it. Drip drop. Mm. Thank you. Drip drop. Oh! But I haven't started yet.
What?
Yeah.
God damn it.
We're
going to
do it. We're going to do an Empire recap starting soon.
It's already been 2 weeks.
No, but we can do a mass. Let everyone get caught up, all right? I've been busy. Oh. I've been busy. So October 9th, 7 p.m., Greg Wiseman, a very talented author.
Back in, baby.
And creator of Gargoyles. And he's like one of the supervising producers, one of the main dudes, like on the Star Wars Rebels, as well as Spider-Man cartoon. He's going to be there. I'm going to be moderating the Q&A. Ed Asner is a voice actor that he's using for his new book, which is Reign of the Ghosts, which is a good book that I've begun already, and I'm a bad reader, but I read 50 pages in one sitting. That should tell you something, because I'm a terrible reader.
It's like size 30 font, though, right?
No. And Ed Asner, voice of Carl from Up, he's going to be there. And so far, not a lot of tickets have sold, which could be actually a good thing, because it'll be more intimate and small. And there's going to be some other voice actors there, but it should be a fun time. You can watch me struggle through moderating, since I've never done that before. I'm pretty confident that it'll be okay, that I'll do all right, though, and because I'm doing all the research I possibly can. I'm probably overcompensating. And just being in the same room as Ed Asner and being able to remember and say,
he's a legend.
I met Ed before he passed away, which is inevitable. It's gonna happen.
Yeah. We can say that about everybody.
That's what you say when you meet him. Be like, I'm so glad to meet you before
I'm
you
gonna
die.
Strike out to meet celebrities before they pass away. That's my new goal.
I'm excited to meet Ed Asner, actually. So voice of Carl.
We didn't even talk
from Up.
The story about the shoes is gone.
The shoes.
The shoes and the
shoes weren't that good, guys.
That was good.
I got shoes on the side of my house.
It's not good that way.
Also, blah blah blah. The event I invited. I'm not plugging.
How do
you
get tickets? AndersonCowan.com.
Oh yeah, go to AndersonCowan.com. Okay, I got all the info right there.
Moving on.
Eventbrite tickets to start at $10.
Moving on to MeUndies. Proud sponsor.
And money. And some of the money. No, MeUndies not a sponsor. But I did wear MeUndies to my event because every time there's a big. Oh yeah, I got four pairs.
Are they good?
Oh, they're great. Really? I love MeUndies. I guess
they are a sponsor now because now I want to get.
They've been a sponsor on the Film Vault, so they sent some over. And
I'm very careful with what I let coddle my genitals.
These are great. Like every time there's a big event happening, like you have a big day or something, you're always reaching for the MeUndies.
Why don't you just wear them every day?
Yeah, make every day a big day.
Because I only have four.
Ooh, that's
and I'm not
motto.
Gross.
Yeah, we'll do laundry every 3 days.
Mm-hmm. Make every day a big day. Put your dick in these.
Like whenever I have to do laundry, the first things that I'm always washing. This is absolute truth. The first thing I'm always washing are the MeUndies. I'm like, I gotta have them clean. Gotta have them ready. I love them.
You could somehow slide in the child angle too.
What are you doing?
Do you want your kids? Would you
MeUndies was this close to signing on with the After Disaster? They just peeled away.
Would you let Haynes babysit your kids? No.
Hey, these guys like really like the. Oh,
that reminds me of what some fuck said at the Cold Cockle event.
Yeah.
What did they say?
Everyone was great.
Okay, first of all, that guy was a nice guy. If it's the guy I'm thinking about, very sweet guy.
He was a nice guy, but I did not like what he said.
Okay.
He said, he comes up to me, and he says, hey, Anderson, just want to let you know, huge listener of the After Disaster. I love it. I really enjoy it.
Excited to hear the story again.
I listen because I'm a little socially awkward, and I really relate to you and Mike. And I also listen because I want to be like Tyler, because he's got such great zingers.
Well done, sir.
I'm like, what are you talking about? Zingers?
Yeah, the zingers, bro. Like that ejaculation joke I had earlier? Killing it.
Low hanging fruit.
I listen because you guys are mentally ill and you're spinning out of control and Tyler comes by with a funny mop and cleans up. That's why I listen. This is what I was telling you about on Friday.
Yeah, what are you inviting me to that I can't go to?
Tara's doing a panel with Elvis Mitchell.
Oh.
Yeah.
The treatment.
Where?
I like this LACMA?
Buddhist position you're in, Mike.
What time?
I don't know.
You make the squeeze in, though.
It's like 7 or 8.
You're going to be like, you ask like a really long-winded question. You're like, Ed, what do you think about the Syrian crisis? Get them spinning a yarn for a little while.
What are your thoughts on Elvis Mitchell? Let me go find out what his thoughts are on you.
I saw a post about it, and then she called me and goes, guess what I'm doing? And I was like, God damn it.
You're going, right?
I don't know.
You have to go.
I don't know if I'm going.
Elvis Mitchell. Elvis Mitchell, we've talked about him on the show. Yeah. He's probably the smartest guy interviewing in Hollywood today. I don't know if he has a creative bone in his body, but he knows everyone else's creative, everything that they've done. He's probably familiar with all 9 of the things that I show the cold cock.
He wears MeUndies.
When I was watching Walking the Pups, it reminded me of that 1846 play in Paris.
At Tara's event, he will say to somebody on the panel, he'll say, I noticed a thread that your work, you're very obsessed with
Shakespearean
this theme,
to it.
Is all about, you're always going back to captivity. And I wondered.
And the color red plays a prominent.
And the person will say, you know what? I've never really thought about that, but you're right.
Every
time.
Because you're 50 times smarter than me. That's why I never thought of it.
How does he read everything and know everything?
I told Tara, I go, you should do is probably listen to like 20 of his episodes and then read like 400 books before you go.
If I ever have an opportunity where I get to like talk with Elvis Mitchell or I get to like ask him a question.
If you went to Tara's thing?
I was going to go,
I need like a recorded conversation between the two of us. So I'm going to somehow make a thread. In his life and pointed out to him that he's never witnessed.
You know,
that
your
never
interviewing
knows.
Style is a lot like Damocles when he...
Whoa, Damocles?
Look at Geronimus.
I mean, you got to pull something. You got to pull something really, really weird.
That was good.
Where did that fucking...
You know, in page 3000 of the Quran, there's a statement that reminds me of your interviewing style.
So also Mike McAllister, Sergeant McAllister, our gambler buddy, he was at the event.
Yes, he was.
He was at a cold cockle night.
That was a treat.
Did I even say the part where I thank you everyone for showing up, for coming out, for being a part of it. And,
showing.
Why do you do that every time?
And
why?
I thank people why? For well, being so sweet. That was nice correctly. Meeting people. That was fun.
It was fun. It was what I would call a success. I wouldn't say that it was 100% a success because it was hot as shit. It was hot and loud.
And the people who said it was better than they
expected.
Oh, I got a lot of people saying that it far exceeded their
expectations. Oh, my God. I have my own version of that.
What? Tell me.
Somebody came up to me and went, "You're a lot skinnier than I thought you looked."
What?
I was like, huh? He goes, "Yeah, you don't look that skinny in videos." He goes, "You're a lot skinnier."
Well, your old videos, you weren't skinny.
Yeah, but that made me feel weird.
Oh, you know what? I keep forgetting. This has gone on for like a few weeks now. Okay, so Mike Carano was on Loveline a few weeks ago, right? And I kind of like made that happen a little bit last minute, and I got you in there because Catherwood was out, and God knows, you know, getting anything plugged or anything Anderson related on Loveline is forbidden if Catherwood's around. He's just anti.
And it was cool when you made it seem like they wanted the After Disaster on the show.
Yeah, I asked Mike Carano if he could come do Loveline in a couple nights, and I sent it on the thread in the text chain where Tyler was also a part of that. So it was ambiguous, and Tyler thought that I was inviting him.
No, not me. Only me. I thought it was like, can you guys do it?
Yeah, I know. I felt bad.
But God forbid.
I know. Well,
Outcast.
The 18 people that listen to that show hear us.
So I figured, you know, I can also plug Cold Cockle Night, which I never did on Loveline.
We plugged the shit out of it.
So we plugged it that night. Unfortunately, the button was broken that day and the next day and the day after that. So I was wondering why it didn't move one ticket on Loveline. It's because the PayPal button was broken. So I didn't. I don't think anyone showed up to Cold Cockle Night that heard about it on Loveline. I don't think one person, which I'm fine with, which is kind of nice. I like that. I don't like to have to depend on something that is not dependable.
Everybody there was there for that.
But here's the thing that I want to bring up. This is great. So Drew has not seen – this is a couple weeks ago now when Mike is on Loveline. Yeah. He's actually like the guest on Loveline. And, you know, we're plugging the After Disaster a little bit and plugging Mike's show and trying to plug my event. And I wanted Drew to have some kind of reference point. So I had you show him the trailer for The Cult of Carano, right? Yeah. Which I knew Drew would appreciate and he would like. So Drew – is enjoying it, but he's being Drew, you know, and it's like halfway through the trailer. It's a couple minutes. It's too long for a short. I can tell you that. The trailer is too long for that thing. I need to cut that thing up. But anyways, he's looking at it, and then Drew says, "What happened to the apocalypse that was going on outside?" And Mike immediately, Mike, do you have any idea what I'm
about to say?
Mike immediately goes, I don't know. He wrote it.
I didn't do it like that.
Absolutely.
I didn't do it like that.
He wrote it.
Michael.
I did not do it like that because I don't feel that way.
Oh, here's a river. Saul Anderson down it.
What happens to the Holocaust? And Mike says, I don't know. He wrote it. Ooh.
Just ends.
So that bar we were at.
Mm-hmm.
Where the guy said that he listens because we're mentally ill, but he wants to be like Tyler. Later that night, not one of our people. It was some random because there was like a big... It used to be the Conga Room, which used to be like one of the big venues in L.A. where like bands would play. I meant to figure out what famous bands played on that actual stage that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been cool. There. But I didn't find much on the Conga Room. Anyways, adjacent to it is like the regular bar where you didn't have to have tickets for a Cold Cockle Night. So there's a lot of just, you know, randoms in there. And I saw this poor guy with a little Swiss Army knife. And he was trying to trade it to one of the bartenders for a Newcastle. I'm like, that's one of the saddest things I've ever seen.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's like, I'll trade you this knife for a Newcastle, man. And the guy did it. He's like, all right, fine. Here you go. Newcastle, knife for me. Sad.
That's heartbreaking.
Yeah. Sorry I told that story. Now.
The guy goes out to his trunk and just pulls three more knives out, puts them in his pocket.
We were thinking about, you know, paying for things with mugs.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Equally sad. Give you this
mug. Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the program.
You don't have to do welcome again.
You want to hear something that's completely fits into the ridiculousness of the improv?
Yes.
They have those three electronic cabinets out front that I put pictures in, and they flash. You know, new pictures go up every 5 seconds, and the upcoming events and stuff like that.
Right.
So they were there doing extensive work on them yesterday, putting in individual Wi-Fi units and new computers to run them, even though I just do it off a flash drive. And I'm like, am I out of a job?
Right.
Like, and they're like, oh, no, what's going to happen now is we're adding a system. It's going to be great where if you're at the improv and you take a picture of yourself and you tag it with the improv, it automatically goes to the cabinet and shows.
Mm-hmm. They do that at a lot of places.
And yeah, I went, like, how long till someone takes a shit in the alley and takes a picture of it and it shows up on the cabinets, and they're like, oh, we'll deal with that when it happens. Mm-hmm. Like, there's gonna be dicks on there immediately.
Well, the other issue with that is you can, once you know what the hashtag they have to use, like, I could just do it for my house.
The hashtag is just hashtag improv, Hollywood improv, or something like
that. So
people around the world are just gonna be able to send us whatever they want, and they're like, I'm sure there's gonna be a safeguard or something. Like, oh, really? Uh-huh. Really?
Well, I feel like we should do this immediately right now. Let's get the picture of the pad picture.
Oh, no, trust me, it's going to be MikeCarano.com showing up there every 5 minutes.
This happened at the...
Cole Cockle Productions, number two.
I did that thing at the Emmys, like, I don't know, 4 years ago, or the Grammys? No, Grammys. Mm. Like, the Grammys Radio Day.
Talking to the microphone, please.
But they screen.
And they had an Instagram booth that was, like, printing out anything that used hashtag, like, Grammys Radio Day or something like that.
Someone was banging.
And then there was, like, there were, like... we got to go put this printer in like a private room because asses started to show up because people were like following on Instagram. We're just sending pictures of their asses.
Yeah.
That's not very creative. Asses.
Hey, can we talk about food for a minute?
Huh. Sure can.
Had a,
I got to pee really bad.
Me too.
Should I fix that?
Just pee your undies.
All right, we're both going to pee.
Pause.
Enjoy
at the same time.
Or do you just want to talk while we're peeing?
No, I don't want to talk.
Talk.
No.
Let's go sword fight.
What do I hit?
No, don't touch anything.
Pause or the record button? Pause. Back in business.
Didn't Mike say that he had a story or something?
Yes, about food.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Food story.
We went out to dinner last night.
Who's we?
The three of
Tara
us.
Tara and I, for her birthday. Mm-hmm. And we love food. We like trying new restaurants. Mm-hmm. And I think all of us love food here.
Yep.
Food is necessity.
So we made a decision based on our consumption of food-related television shows that we're going to be experimental and try some new stuff. Mm-hmm. So, and I know this is not that strange to people, but I had a lot of food last night that I've never had before. I had bone marrow.
Ooh.
I had pig's ear. Mm-hmm. I had foie gras.
Oh, dude, come on.
And I had...
Come on.
The weirdest one of all. Corn. No, but I did have corn.
Did you have corn?
It's a restaurant called Animal, and they serve pickled brains, and they serve...
Did you have brains?
Pig face. Uh-huh. Didn't
pig
have
face.
The brains. Yeah.
Pig face.
Yes.
What kind of corn?
I'm going to tell you right now. It was some of the most delicious corn I've ever had.
Was
I highly recommend a couple of things on the menu. Skip on the bone marrow. Kind of gross.
I want this to be like the worst like interview about...
Skip on the pig's ear.
Just we need to just stick to corn. Fuck all the other
You know
stuff.
What? Corn
was
is a staple of the American diet. It was on the cob.
Salt
was,
and pepper? Butter?
It was grilled with a bunch of stuff on it, a bunch of spices. Uh-huh. It was fucking
was
delicious.
Like, was it right. like the Mexican corn?
Yes.
Like
it was Mexican
yeah.
corn.
Yeah. So you
had mayonnaise.
But I want to tell you about the foie gras.
Any spice?
Because I've never
Don't
had
eat
it.
Foie gras.
Okay.
Do you understand what it is?
I just want to explain to you.
Mm-hmm.
It was foie gras on a biscuit
mm-hmm.
with a special gravy. One of the most delicious things I've ever had
Dude,
in my life.
Do you understand?
By
in
far.
My life.
The amount of suffering that goes
by
into your,
far.
Your little tasty treat there.
The yeah. pig's ear, stupid. Mm. The guy's like, it's like crispy bacon with an egg on top.
Mm. Not good?
I'd much rather have crispy bacon.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were there hairs on the ear?
There was wax in it, hairs
yeah,
on
really?
It.
Really?
No, no. They. Here's how they prepare it. The guy goes, the pig's ears are boiled for 36 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So that they're edible. Mm-hmm. And I was like, right there, you got a problem. Because bacon's already edible.
Yeah. We got
bacon's
break down cartilage.
Bacon's ready to go.
Right.
And I don't know if they're just doing it to be weird or if it's supposed to be better. Because I've heard people post on Facebook that bone marrow is their all-time favorite food.
My mom cracks open bones, like chicken bones
sucks
and
it
rib
out.
Bones and sucks it out. Yeah. She's down with the marrow.
Yeah.
Down with the marrow.
Have you had it?
No.
No.
I mean, I think everyone's had it. If you had like a New York steak with the bone in, there's a little bit of, you know, you'll see that white fatty stuff coming out of the bone. That's a little marrow there.
Never thought to eat that.
Mm-hmm. Isn't marrow dark?
I've eaten a lot of drunk steaks, you know, so I kind of chow down.
I don't know, like, what the point of these kind of play is. It just so you can try weird stuff, but or is it actually?
It's because people like you and Tara go there like on special occasions.
Yeah.
Where is it?
It's on Fairfax.
Mm-hmm. And it's called Animal.
Yeah.
and it has torture food.
$130
Torture food.
I don't think it's torture food. I think it's obscure.
Well,
what about a steak?
Do you know what?
Put a bolt in a cow's head. A
couple times. That's not torture.
Masters of Science, Mike, explain.
I've asked you a couple times. Foie gras. Foie gras. Do you understand what it is and why it's bad?
Okay, I don't understand what it is.
Okay. I hate when people do what I'm doing to you right now, so I'm sorry.
No, explain to me why it's bad.
Okay. They take little geese. Right?
So far, I'm in.
Geese can be bitches. They can be. But yeah.
Goose is fucking delicious.
They fly. Goose? They fly in the air. Boiled goose is the best.
Yeah. Boiled goose.
That's a little
eight people
Lonely Island. They fly, and they have a little system when they fly. In the V, you see them flying back and forth. Yeah. And then when the lead guy gets tired, he drifts back.
Not part of foie gras.
I know, but I'm giving a little background on geese.
Yeah, he's making it worse. He's going to make me feel worse. Like I disrupted the formation of geese.
And then a new guy goes to the top, and then the guy that was at the front or the lady goose. And she kind of drifts, so she's now cruising, and so they all take turns on who takes the lead and takes the brunt of the aerodynamic wind force, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet little birds. All right, now the ones that produce the foie gras, they have funnels shoved down their long necks, and then they have food jammed down their throat, force fed like massive amounts of fatty foods. Why? Because they need to get their livers expanded and fat. So by the time that these animals are slaughtered, the livers are about five times, maybe more, the size that they're supposed to be.
Hmm.
And then they...
Seems like it would be inexpensive instead of super expensive.
They take that liver and they pulverize it and make it a paste and put it on biscuits with gravy.
Sometimes they nail their feet down so that they can't get away. They can just eat. And
sometimes they punch them in the neck.
But I've seen footage of it, and it's so disturbing where they're just jamming the food down the throat. Ugh. But Chef Ramsay... who was my hero, he defends it, and he claims that he has a farm that does it humanely.
They just convince the geese to eat a lot?
Yeah.
Come on, buddy. You're still going to clean your plate. There's geese in Africa starving.
They break their hearts and put a TV and ice cream in front of them.
They feed them just Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah.
They break their hearts.
Speaking of which, I heard this on a little show called Sex with Emily that I co-host once a week.
Yeah.
That you record in triplicate.
Yeah, I record in triplicate, unlike this show that I record in one-plicate.
Except for the hidden camera that I have going.
This came up on
spy.
Emily's show last night.
I take care
of
business in my apartment in Studio City.
She has this thing called Sex in the News, which is always my favorite part of the show. It's some kind of crazy story, like that one story about how it's legal to beat off in Sweden now because... That guy
in public?
He got busted for like beating off on the beach.
Busted.
But since he wasn't making eye contact with anyone, they didn't charge him.
What?
That was a while ago. But 7-Eleven, we all know 7-Eleven, right?
Yes.
7-Eleven, they're going to start a delivery service. They're going to have one for, it's going to be called Date Night or Sex Night, where they deliver for $20, you get condoms.
Oh, I've heard, yes, I've heard this.
Ice cream and... something else, like gum.
An excuse that you have to go sleep by yourself.
And then they have it's called For the Hangover, and I think it's also $20. And they bring like...
Gatorade
and like pepperoni pizza.
Not bad. Not bad.
Not bad at all, right? Mm-hmm.
Except for the whole idea of having someone deliver it bothers me.
Well, maybe you can set it up so they can just knock and then run.
Not bad.
Leave it at the...
Not bad.
That should be like for an extra $2, Mike. They will ding-dong ditch, but leave the package.
Yeah, that is a little awkward to, like, order the sex package. Yeah. And, like, some guy's like, sign here.
Yeah,
it's
fine here.
He's all, like, looking around you trying to see.
Yeah, yeah.
So who do you got in there?
You got in there? You got a 6.5?
Why are you getting two packages?
Speaking of 6.5, let's get back to this sex neighbor.
All right, sex neighbor it is.
Speaking of sex in the news.
Mm-hmm.
My neighbor is a photographer.
The whisper.
He goes right back into it.
My neighbor takes pictures of naked girls in my driveway.
Yes.
Did they not do any in his place?
I don't know.
I'm sure they do plenty in his place.
But how ballsy is that to live in an apartment?
Yeah.
And do your
photography? Yeah, if I'm doing dicey work like that,
there's families.
I'm
there's families that
live
like
far from where I live.
Upstairs.
Far from where I live.
Have you seen his site, or does he sell like two sites?
He, I don't know completely, but he's got hundreds.
Mike just like did one of the poses.
He's got hundreds of thousands of pictures on his computer because he's asked me computer questions. And I go in there and it's just like
do you just slip the
hundreds,
second you walk into his
hundreds
house?
Hundreds of folders with like 1,200 pictures, 1,200. It's just mm-hmm. like, I don't know how it works. I don't
and
know
famous
how he
people
sells
go
it.
Into this house, right?
Yeah, yeah. Gary Oldman's been over here.
What the fuck?
Not to take pictures, because he's a collector of things as well.
Yeah.
Like a memorabilia and stuff.
He's got a...
Jesus. Sorry, guys.
He's got a station.
Who's that?
It's Jesus, my buddy from camp who has no eyes and missing a leg.
I thought we were going to get
how does he
a
dial?
TV call.
He doesn't dial with his eyes. I mean...
yeah, what?
Hmm.
Should I answer?
Sure.
Yeah. Huh? Mm. Nah, that'd be rude. Poor Jesus. I don't want to do that. Does annoy me that he doesn't listen to any of the programs, though. Mm. If he listened to the After Disaster, I would definitely answer right now. He could be a part of it.
Why doesn't he listen?
Because he's too busy listening to the Love Line and thinking Rudy's funny. All right, here we go.
Mm. Back to the... Okay, so... is he a professional photographer?
Well, you are such a perv.
That happens to take photos.
Yeah, you're talking pretty loud.
Because I can hear his conversations. And when I'm in this room, I can hear his living room conversations.
Yeah, don't talk too loud.
What does he talk about in there?
That's why I do everything in the back rooms.
Tyler, why don't you just accost him on your way out? And
I'm just really confused by a guy who lives in an apartment that just goes down into like, you're like, for people.
Is he
know,
really lazy? Because like if I did something dicey like that, I would do it as far away from my house where I live as possible. Like I'd be like, I'll meet at your house, lady. We'll do it in your alley, all right? Not mine.
Well, that's my other question. Is he specialized in only he does like the like the peekaboo type like photos or like
peekaboo.
The like I'm taking out the trash and like my skirt went up.
I don't think that's a real thing.
I don't know.
Public flashing type stuff?
Yeah, it might be that. It might be that. But sometimes he's done themed things and I don't know what he thinks my deal is because one day he goes, this is a weird question. He goes, you don't happen to have a Star Trek dress? And I went, sure do. And I gave him a Star Trek dress. So the girl could like stand out there and pull up her dress and show her vagina.
See, it's always outside. And
and then he gave it back to me dry cleaned.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Did you throw it away anyways, though?
What?
Did you throw it away?
I don't know what I did with it. It's probably in my closet. It's still in the dry cleaning bag. Mm-hmm. But no, many, many times I've come home and there's action in the driveway. And
it's so weird. What about
and they
the
throw
kids?
On like they throw on like smocks, like those hair cutting smocks. And they stand on the side and they're all wearing heels and stuff. And then... I think he told me that he takes pictures of the girls and then they print them and they go to conventions like those adult expo conventions and they sell the prints and people buy them.
He doesn't put them online.
I don't know.
That is bizarre.
I don't know.
They're like these are my custom like posters just for you.
But you know what? There's no scenery around here.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like they're just up against a dumpster?
Well, when I skated up, they're in the alley, and she was leaning against like this actual building.
Yeah,
and he was sitting across from her across the driveway, and they were giggling, and she was spreading, and then they saw me coming, and she stopped spreading, and he like waved at me, and she kind of looked sheepish.
What the hell?
Yeah, I thought I told you about that.
No, you have.
Meanwhile, I'm struggling because my hands are full, and my backpack was around my neck, so I was like literally turning red, I was trying to like get my skateboard do that cool thing, but like it flailed, and so I'm like leaning over my backpack's like hitting the ground, and they're watching all this. And I'm like, I'm judging you guys, but now you're judging me.
Yeah, a lot of judging going on.
A lot of judging.
A long time ago, like when I first moved into this place, Tara stayed here for like 3 or 4 nights because she was shooting something, and it was all night shoots.
She was shooting something with your neighbor?
No, she slept in that room like during the day.
Low hanging.
Like I never saw her. She was in that room, and one day she called me. She said, there's a bunch of girls downstairs flashing their vaginas. And your neighbor's taking their picture. And I went, I'm sorry. She goes, I don't want to leave. I'm too uncomfortable leaving and seeing them. And I'm like, I know, sorry.
So she just gets ushered into the group
by
mistake.
If you're just in your kitchen, can you just look out that window and just watch it all day?
Wow, Tyler
He's told me, you're welcome to come down and watch. You're welcome to look out the window. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going
to
be there.
You're welcome to look out the window. What the fuck?
There's a lot of guys who will pay a premium to live here.
To be weirded out.
A lot of guys.
At all.
A lot of dudes.
They could charge like $4,000 a month.
I
should get a roommate. I'll clean that back room and just get a roommate and go, hey, big window. I'll tint it.
Just
so
wall it off and just a little hole to look
at. Oh, yeah. With a little quarter machine?
You know what's even grosser is if you guys look over and I got a paper towel dispenser.
Right. Okay.
You've also only said vaginas.
I swear to you, I'm being honest, I never fucking look. I see them doing just what he said. Uh-huh. Like, I see the girl out there in, like, a skimpy dress and high heels, and I pull up, and she's sitting there.
How
like
often
this.
Does this happen?
It's seasonal. I'm not here that much, so I don't know how often it's happening, but I know there's times where sometimes you'll have like four girls and they stay with him for like three or four nights and they're just constantly doing shoots. And
what the
hell? It's
just
constant high heels up and down.
He's not an attractive man.
He's a super sweetheart, nice guy though.
Sounds like he'd be making enough money that he wouldn't live in an apartment and he could have a house where he could
How much does he sell these prints for? Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, he's doing like 100 girls a week.
Okay, now I'm not going to ask him to be on the show with what I'm about to say, but I pay $15.50 a month for this place. Mm-hmm. He came up to me and said, I got to ask you a personal question. How much are you paying in rent? And I went, I don't feel comfortable talking about that. And he goes, well, I think I know how much you're paying. It's like $1,500. I went, yeah. And he goes, because I'm paying $3,000.
What?
And I went, that's ridiculous. And he goes, I know. I'm going to talk to them about it. And I was like, how is that even possible?
Why would he ever move in here for $3,000?
I don't know. Maybe it's part of the deal. Like, I'm going to shoot porno in here.
We'll look the other way.
Yeah, shoot porno.
I don't know. He's a super nice guy.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's fine, Mr. Johnson. We'll just add on the porno tax. will this be upskirt in the driveway?
No, but it's like that,
Mr.
to
Johnson.
Me, that to me boggled my mind. It was on my mind for like 3 days. Like, how are you paying that much money? And I know, you know what? I know I have a deal here. I know for what I get, 2 bedrooms, 2 baths, you know, 2 parking spaces, all that shit.
Yeah.
And I have Tara's got a fucking bargain basement too. Cause we looked at a place across the street from her that was $2,200 for a 1 bedroom.
Jeez.
And,
it's absurd. Absurd. It's what I pay for my house.
Yeah.
And it's I don't live in the ghetto.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not gonna say how much he pays, but Taylor Williamson moved over here and he wanted me to like recommend some places.
Who's that?
Well, I recommended he's a comedian, but I recommended the Valley.
Friend of the show.
And he goes and rents some fucking ridiculously expensive. And I told him this is a waste of money because he's gone 3 weeks a month.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I wanted a cool place, you know, bring some chicks back home. And I'm like, You could rent a house
sure
for
he
the,
appreciates
the amount of oh yeah, but the amount of money he's paying for a 1 bedroom, he could have got a house.
Right. I'm sorry, guys. I got nothing. I am dying of hunger and
foie
tired.
Gras. You want to go to Animal and get some foie gras?
No, I'm good. I'm cool.
How long are those roofers gonna be at your place?
Till around 4. Till the job's done because it's gonna rain tomorrow. Right now, I don't have a roof on my house.
Did they start today?
How am I not at my house right now?
I don't know.
Yeah, you know what? That's incredible.
I need to be there right now.
You want to know something? What? One time I had to do Dr. Drew's podcast like 2.5-3 years ago, and like 2 hours before, the bathroom, this side of the entire building, none of the plumbing worked.
Right.
And I'm like, motherfucker.
Yeah, and you came back and the guy was peeing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had the plumber come over, and I got
to
go.
Been told on the story 3 times.
Well, the guy came. The guy was in here without me.
Mm-hmm. And he's peeing in your broken toilet.
And there's guns in here.
Right.
And he was in here without me.
I got cash in my house right now.
And I left.
What am I doing?
Like, I left.
How am I here right now?
We're trusting. You know what? We're trusting. We're trusting in that people are good people and they're not going to do anything wrong. Because we wouldn't.
Plus, I got those fake cameras up in my house.
Like, when everything falls apart for the three of us and we have to start our own, like, maintenance company.
Yeah.
And we're trying to figure out how to do roofing.
We'll be trusting. Hey, my mom's turning a real Debbie Downer lately. Like, I don't know what the deal is, but like whenever I talk to her, she'll and it's always at
the
end.
Nothing's happened.
I know.
Well, my dad did die, and actually, it kind of does correspond with my dad dying. It's
you
like,
know,
every time
my dad died, my mom filed bankruptcy. She's such a downer now. What's up?
Well, like I'll be on the phone with her. Hey, mom, just checking in. How you doing? Blah, blah, blah. We have a nice 10-15 minute conversation, and then I'll be saying, "All right, mom, gotta go." She goes, "Oh, real quick, honey, last night." You know how we have a hillside in our backyard? We heard something being murdered. I think it was a little baby deer or something. It just sounded awful.
Oh.
Like, why are you telling me this, Mom? Yeah. Why? I don't need to know this. And then she goes,
She's like, did you hear about that school shooting? I'm sending you pictures.
And then the very next time, she's like, oh, okay, bye, honey. Oh, wait, real quick, you know my dog Chai? Yeah, they say that those lesions are cancer, and we're going to have to put them down any day now. Okay, love you. Why?
Yeah. Like, just leaves you with a little zing on
what?
The way out.
I'm like, Mom, and I give her shit. I'm like, Mom, why would you? And I'm just, why? Why? So then I'm talking to her about because she's came to a cold cockle night and she brought her best friend from work. My
Saw
mom
her.
Just
Saw
retired
her.
A couple weeks ago, but her best friend from work, her name's Erica, and she's actually from Africa. And so she's not an African American, she's an African. And my mom was talking to me about, you know, the next day I talked to her and she goes, oh, honey, I'm so proud of you. And it was so much fun. And thank you so much. I did notice, though, when I walked in with Erica, that there was no other black people in the audience. And I immediately asked her, Erica, how do you feel being the only black person here?
She wasn't. There was a black guy right behind her. And
Dean
Avery.
McDonald was there. And yeah. Avery was there. Yeah. And there was at least one waiter that was black.
Yeah. And I shook
You're
her hand.
Reaching for the some of the wait staff.
Yeah. I did the cool handshake with her. So. She might think
I'm like, Mom, there was a black dude in my film. And there was supposed to be another one, but he didn't show up because he got the date wrong. I was going to say because he was on black people time, but that would have been racist. He got the date wrong. Yeah. Dante was supposed to show up, but he thought it was the following weekend.
Dante
would have been tat. Yep. Cult of Corona. Yep. He would have been tat. Yep. But Avery had a speaking line.
He sure did.
So my mom could... A good 5-minute conversation where she's talking about, and I asked her, you know, do you feel comfortable? And Erica said, yes, I'm fine. And I said, oh, if I walked into a room and I was the only white lady, I don't think I'd feel comfortable. I'm like, Mom, why are you making
me feel? Now I
feel
uncomfortable.
Like my whole audience for the night was very gentrified. I don't like it. Is that right? Is that the word, gentrified? No. It's white. You know what I mean?
Well, your logo is a hammer and sickle.
Do you know it was a year ago today we did the Blacko disaster?
Was it really that long ago?
Yeah.
Wow,
that was a good show.
Yeah, that was the best show.
You'd think that like a year later we'd
have
something.
A year later we're running out of card space, losing recordings.
All right, guys, I really have to go. Okay. I don't feel comfortable with like, there's 5-6 dudes on my roof right now.
I hear
you.
Okay.
My dogs are God knows where. What am I doing? It is so irresponsible for me to be here right now.
I don't even understand. Why didn't you just say, let's do it at your house?
Because of the
ambiance. We would have done it in the backyard. We wouldn't have done it in the house.
It would have been just as loud out there. There's all sorts of like music and talking.
Yeah.
There's a party happening on my roof right now.
Sounds tight. You should go get them beers.
Oh, you should get them beers, like at Shawshank.
I asked him if they wanted anything.
You should go up there and go, I got 6 beers in a bucket.
You should do the power move and get some cold brews.
It's cold brews?
Yeah.
Cold brewskis?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, what if they're all like, we're alcoholics?
Gotta go, guys.
What if they drink them right then and fuck shit up?
Roofers
and
all.
Oh, Mike McAllister, so our gambler, a gambling buddy. He's I've been corresponding with him email wise back and forth. He assures me that he's doing quite well. He took your advice, Mike, and he dumped his stripper girlfriend.
Nice.
So he's now focusing on gambling. He says he's been killing it. Knocking some wood for Mike, but he says that he's not lost.
Your leg is wood.
One NFL game yet? There's no wood in your house, dude.
Yeah,
that chair is wood.
Wood so much.
That Star Trek chair is wood.
So I literally knocked on wood. And he wants to place a $300 bet for the African disaster, right?
He also donated,
that we won't get the levels right next week.
He also donated $100 to the next Cold Cockle production, which is B-D. So, Mike, you're killing it. I'm glad for you. I appreciate all the support. We need to do a $300 bet. It's almost getting to the point where it's like consulting now. Like, you know, he's offering us dinner, and we're like, So here's my thought.
I don't like the one you proposed to me.
Why?
Because if they don't even make it that far, then we're already out.
Yeah, that's the whole point of the bet.
What about it? Why don't we bet on the Oscars?
Yeah, but...
Can't.
Yeah, you can.
Can you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should do something more immediate. Like, you should bet, like...
I wanted to bet future bet.
Why don't we bet on something we know nothing about, like a rugby game
or
something?
That the Pirates or the Dodgers will win the World Series, and then like if either one of them hit, you just don't have faith in either team. That's your problem.
No, I just don't like. I don't like the
waiting.
If like we go into the playoffs and either team doesn't get to the next round, it's like well, that one's over already.
Well, that's either your reasoning is so off. If we bet on a rugby game tomorrow and then they lose, it's over as well. This one
I know, but that's more
I gotta say, it would be a little too much pressure for me to handle if all of a sudden the Dodgers get, and it's like a game 7.
Mike's going to be like a huge Dodger fan.
Be like, what the F? Like all of a sudden because it came down to this.
What's even the payoff, though,
I think it's
though,
like 20-1 right now or something.
It can't be that good of odds.
There's I think it was only... 12-1 for the Pirates.
Why don't we just live have him go in there and we'll Skype him in and just put it all on black or something on roulette.
I don't think you're allowed to Skype from the floor.
That down low. On the down low.
On the down low.
Yeah. He's a professional gambler. He knows some sneaky ways. He's probably got one of those little tappy things in his shoe, and his friends giving him signals from across the casino.
What movie was that?
Casino.
Was it? I think you might be right. I didn't like Casino because I didn't like Robert De Niro's character.
I liked it a lot.
I didn't like his character. Yeah. He was a whiny bitch.
I liked it a lot.
I shouldn't say whiny bitch.
All right, Pirates are 5-1.
That's it?
Dodgers are... 5-2, however that math
what?
Works.
Really?
I don't even know what I mean.
Oh, because the Pirates are whatever. Oh, look at this. So Misty, listener Misty.
Oh my God, that's fantastic!
Misty, come on, what are you doing?
Is it cockroaches?
Yeah.
Do we have a P.O. box anymore?
Yeah, I haven't been to it in a while, but I haven't been to it in a little over a week. I'm sorry, I'm a bad P.O. boxer. I'm a bad P.O. boxer, but yeah, we still got a P.O. box. Misty, listener Misty. Also, she's a cold cockler. She was. She gave us a bag. And she, after not a cold cockle, I'm like, Misty, what am I supposed to do with this? My hands are a little full right now. But she gave us a bag for the next show, which I forgot about until just now. And there's cockroaches. Cocky roaches.
I don't want this roach in here.
No? Little plastic cockroaches.
He's going to shoot it with one day. And, Chili licks sucker.
I'm having an allergic reaction to something all of a sudden.
You think it's the bag?
Did you say you had a story about Mormon? Or was that not for the show? You're short. Remember, I was like,
not really a story. So one last thing on the shorts, and I'll get off cold cockle night until I find the next venue, because I'm going to do it again in the next couple months at an all ages place.
What about the people who are wondering if they can watch them online?
And I'm going to also take the show on the road, go up to Seattle, and I think back to New York. Whoa. And so I would like to do two, maybe three more shows. And yes, I will make them available online sooner than later. I'm hoping to have them available online very soon. For like a minimum donation, because what I'm trying to do is make these things work for
minimum
the next
donation
one.
Is a $300 bet,
so that I can actually pay people and make a very low budget awesome movie, which I love the fucking idea of. And the idea was kind of sprung from this program. It was from a conversation that Mike and I were mm-hmm. very immersed in about a year and a half ago. And Tyler, you chimed as well and made that guy want to be like you.
A zing or two.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I was asking people, like, you know, a number of people, I'm like, so which one of the movies that I forced down your throat for Gua style tonight did you like? And every single of the nine things that showed, every single one of them was mentioned by one person or another. So I thought for sure like one or two was going to be repeated over and over again, but like Tyler liked Mormon the most, and then some of the girls liked.
Let's not get twisted. I liked the one with Cosmo the most.
Liked Walking the Pups, which is just me, which is available on YouTube, I think, and it's just me walking my goddamn dogs. That's insulting when that's somebody's favorite. It's like, really? Mm. All the work I put in on the others, and you like me walking my goddamn dogs?
That's not insulting, but.
A lot of people like 3/6, my student film, the most. Actually, no one said they liked Disgruntled, the black and white VHS transfer from 16mm reversal. That one was a little bit...
With Max,
yeah.
I like that one.
Black
this
and
is
white.
Really fucking little, weird, but I liked it.
A little tough. But so I thought for sure there'd be one or two that would kind of like rise above, and I know what to submit to festivals. But which I guess is a good thing. A lot of people like Nearsighted the most, the car one. So I guess that's a good thing, but it kind of leaves me...
Doesn't
like,
give you a focus group.
Right. I don't know what to do.
Trust your gut.
That's my story. Kay. Mormon.
I like Mormon a lot.
It's offensive to, I think, Mormons.
Not really.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know why would that be offensive?
So there's this Mormon is like my red balloon. It's like I shot at MOS, and we shot it in like 5 hours, and we just went out with a camera. And my camera guy, Mickey, and my actor, Travis, who's also the guy that we've played his voicemails on the show. Mm-hmm. Very funny guy. And the three of us just cruised around parts of the ghetto and shot guerrilla style.
The scene where he goes up to like the six apartments in a row, it's fantastic.
That was great.
I just had him going up to like strangers' doors, and we got a few people that were really pissed off at us coming out going, what are you guys doing? Why are you knocking on my door? But... we had no permission doing anything that we did.
Did anyone actually want to talk about Jesus with him?
No. And I was just like, we were driving around the neighborhood. I'm like, that would be great. We should do this. And, you know, I was just kind of making stuff up as we went. And one of my things that I was really excited about was I saw a gay pride flag, like a big rainbow flag. So I'm like, we got to get a shot of him walking by, looking up at the flag, shaking his head, and then continuing. So like, that's the one place that he doesn't knock on the door, if you notice. Like, he's knocking on everybody's door, but he doesn't bother with. And I guess that when that scene came up, somebody was sitting by Drew, a Dr. Drew, and I guess Drew was like leaning in, talking to Susan, going, that flag is by my house. There's a flag just like that by our house. And Susan's like, yeah, it's the gay pride flag. There's a lot of them.
Does Drew not know that the rainbow is
Drew? I don't know.
Drew.
I don't know.
All right, you guys, thanks for coming over.
Yeah, I got to go home to the party on my roof.
I got to go to Orange County.
What are you doing? Oh, yeah.
Shooting some video stuff with Judd.
Mm-hmm.
Old Jacoby Myers himself.
Mm-hmm. Ask him about the DJ script.
The DJ script. Yeah. What is that?
D. McDonald, the guy that was at my at Cold Cockle,
mm-hmm.
He wrote a script, which I, you know, I read a lot of scripts, and a lot of people ask me to read scripts. This one's hilarious. It was very good. It's called The Rise of Mondo, I think. And it's a really, really funny script about a DJ becoming like a huge, sensational DJ and then having some issues and becoming kind of a dick. But it's a really over-the-top classic. Very funny movie. God, I can't speak, guys. I'm sorry. Screenplay. Anyways, Judd, I guess, is familiar with it, and he has it, and he was supposed to read it because they have a common agent or something. I don't know. Whatever. We'll talk to you about that after the break. Hey, enjoy your weekend, everybody.
Yep.
Have a good weekend.
Yep.
We'll come back with an actual recorded show next week.
If anyone has any has any bet suggestions, call us. 424-287-7227. I think that's the number.
Don't ask me.
Yeah, don't look at me.
Pretty sure that's it. And or you can email us, theafterdisaster@gmail.com.
Thanks again to everybody who came out for Cold Cockle Night. That was
and thanks for
a
saying hi, because everyone was nice. And
yeah,
was
everybody. Cool. It just, yeah, I got, you know, a lot of people.
Steven bought me a shot.
A lot of my friends who I've known for years that were there, they're like, you know, everyone that showed up and all the people that worked on the things, everyone's just super cool. Everyone's so mm-hmm. Rick Urban sent me a long text. He's one of my composers, and he's like, every person that worked on your movies that I met seems like super cool. I'm like, yeah, good people.
Yep.
Salt of the earth.
You're booking these things Steven Soderbergh style. No assholes.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of
thing?
My MO. Yeah.
Yeah. That's his thing.
Is that an asshole thing to do, though?
Kinda,
nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Nope.
Catch 22. All right, good night, everybody.
Good afternoon.
Good morning.
Thanks for letting us be a part of your Friday.
Yep. God bless.
Wait. One more toast. No!